Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
All day, all night, all the time. BlakeRadio.com, music for your mind, body, and soul.
Sports in Depth on the Blake Radio Network. We're waiting for Doc. This is Big C behind the controls, behind the curtain. Waiting for Doc, who's live on location. On his way to Brazil. Lucky man. Stay tuned.
Big C.
Doc.
John Coltrane. Here at JFK, got a 6:15 flight, but they're pushing it out a little early, going back to Brazil, doing our show live from JFK, one of the most renowned airports in the world. You know, it was literally named Idlewild Airport, and it was named after John Fitzgerald Kennedy after the assassination. Dear Lord, we thank you for another day. Thank you for being alive and well. Thank you for the freedoms enjoyed and entertained in America. Bless the crew. Here's Luke. Not what we want, but what we need. Thank you for Luke. Thank you to largely take for granted. Keep all safe, all flights throughout the world. And more importantly, all honor and praise to you, darlings, in Jesus. Amen. Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Blaze. We're going to have Rainbow Soul Sports in Depth is a show. Sports in Depth will take you anywhere. We can talk about anything because I got the crew and they know what to do. Big C at the controls. Dusty should be rattling off. He's now. He had to walk his dog. Remind that song by Rufus Thomas, Walking the Dog. So now he's Dusty R, and the R stands for Rufus. Big C on the controls. Sea Wings brought me out here. So I've been surrounded by the crew so early today. Winnie should be calling in. If I click off, that's because they're checking me. And it's a half hour. Last night we did with Winnie things. Did you know? Things you thought you knew that you didn't know that you didn't know because I told you so. I like that line, Winnie. Make sure we keep that up. And then Rooney came with one foul pole up until 1931 was a double.
And that was Big C.
Yeah, I see that Big C, adding that to the already incredible library that we have. And Big C, I'm going to click off for a minute because I got to go through. Dusty should be clicking on. I'll be back in a second. Doc Stanley Sports Lab at JFK. One moment, I'll be right back.
Welcome to Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
Quick local team updates. Bottom of the third, Mets are down 4-1. Against the Astros. And on the Yankee side of it, Yankees go against the Red Sox again tonight at the Yankee Stadium at 7:10 p.m.
Melchior Jr. checking in. Can you hear me, Doctor?
Oh, the doctor is going through checkup, through customs, I guess. So it's just you and me. This is Big C. This is Mel.
Hey, C, how's it going? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Loud and clear. How are you?
Great. Hanging in there. Thanks.
Good to hear you. Yeah. So it's just me and you for now. Doc will be in and out, as he's, you know, has to take his shoes off.
What do you think of the basketball goings on, C?
I'm sorry?
I was saying, what do you think of the basketball goings on?
Oh, you know, my biggest surprise was the Lakers. You know, I thought they were going to go the whole way, but I guess basketball got better than planned.
Big C.
The doctor has arrived.
The doc is back.
Did Dusty call in yet?
No, not just yet.
No. Okay. So, well, is that Rooney?
We have Rooney Jr. here. We have Rooney.
A.K.A. Little Coco, half-hour show specialty from JFK. Rudy, right now, I think, for all intents and purposes, the favorite to win it all in the NBA has to be the Miami Heat. L.A. is gone. Boston's gone. You really don't think that Memphis has the experience. Dallas has a tendency to fold, and are the Grizzlies for real? And I think those are the questions that are out there right now.
Not only that, but you got the two guys. You can give it to either one, obviously, the two superstars, Crunch Time, and LeBron and Wade. However, you have the X Factor, which is Bosh.
Yeah, well, also, you know, people can't forget, you know, Bibby's no chump either. he made some big shots there, too. That
a very interesting
in that
addition to their lineup.
Well, you know, his dad was a hell of a job. I never forget Bob Love. Knicks played the Chicago Bulls, and I'll never forget the look on Bob Love's face. And in a lot, he said, you know, I didn't know Henry Bibby could shoot like that.
Mm-hmm.
We must not have saw him in college because he was shot that ball well in college, too. But, you know, I'll never forget his wife, lovely lady, and besides her beauty, the name she had is from the state I was born in, Virginia. But his Bibby is a shooter in the same vein as his dad. And has to be a class act. Doc Stanley, Sports Network on the Blake, Red Rainbow Show, Sports Network for the show. Rooney, I'm going to let you handle it for the next few minutes. I got to go to check out, and we're waiting for Dusty to join us. Take care, gentlemen. I'll be in a minute.
No, anyway, so see, you're giving me your thoughts over the goings-ons.
I have to be honest. I'm a local guy. So as soon as the Knicks were, you know, since we saw to the Celtics, I kind of tuned out.
Well, you know, so did I. I've been following it marginally. But, you know, see, I'll never forget. You know, obviously, my Earl Monroe is my absolute favorite Nick of all time, Earl of Pearl. Because
right.
I see that guy
Earl
just do moves or a thing that I just saw Pearl do things. And you know something? See, I used to watch, remember when they had the NBA on CBS? For like Brent Musburger and them. They would show like a game of the week, you know, like a Knicks game of the week, basically a lot of the Knicks. Man, I would literally see Earl putting moves on guys and the young dudes on the bench. I think it was like a young Ray Williams and such. They were crying laughing at the moves this guy was pulling off, see?
All right. I mean, he was a trendsetter. I mean, he was one of the originals.
Yeah.
You know, of course.
And Earl was making guys look so bad and embarrassing guys so bad that literally the young dudes on the bench would die laughing.
Yeah. So it's like the bench got a show and the audience got a show, the fans.
No, seriously, see, and that's the first time, you know, because usually since a guy makes a move or a slam dunk, you know, a couple of guys on the bench would jump up and say, oh, yeah. Dudes are crying off the bench, man. I'd be like, oh, my God, did you see that? I mean, at this time, man, he was older, too. See, he wasn't, like, young. He was older then, man. He was still embarrassing, guys.
Well, what age did he retire?
You know, I don't know, but I remember seeing him at the Garden once with my dad, you know, in the later stages of his career. And, man, the crowd was just all into the Pearl, man. They're like, shoot it, Earl, shoot it. Every time he touched the pill, everybody was, shoot it, Earl, shoot it, shoot it, Earl. The guy was magnificent. You know, I got to tell you, my three favorite Knicks, you're going to laugh, see.
Obviously,
Earl the Pearl Monroe.
Right.
Believe it or not, because the next dude I'm going to mention, see, I remember Doc Rivers speaking to Doc one-on-one. And the dude that I'm going to mention, he said this guy has more heart than anybody ever played with. He didn't say Patrick Ewing. He didn't say Charles Oakley. John Stark.
Okay, he's one of my top three also.
Yeah, my boy Starkey. You know,
yeah.
You know, see, coming from a wrestling background, you're going to laugh, but coming from a wrestling background, I used to see of the Knicks who used to get booed the most on the road when they're on the road, who used to get the most boos. Coming from a wrestling background, see. So,
yeah.
I really took notice of who got booed the most. It wasn't Oakley. It wasn't Ewing. It was my boy Starkey.
Wow. Number three, I believe, right?
Yeah. I mean, when they went into Chicago and Indiana, the boos were deafening, see?
Wow. Of course. Yeah.
I mean, he was like public enemy. He was public enemy number one.
I don't think there are too many other guys out there who actually dunked over Grant, Jordan, and was it Pippen? I'm not sure if he was in the mix.
Yeah, it was the big three. It was Jordan, Pippen, and Grant. And what made it so bad, he drove the lane, as you remember, and dunked him, did it with the left hand.
Yes. Oh, and that was a moment for me. I don't remember what year that was, but that's one of the greatest moments in Knicks history. You know, just
and
in
Garden history.
Yeah,
you know,
it's
the only history, time I ever
right.
heard. Yeah, well, no doubt. You know, the only time I ever heard the Garden that loud as it ever got for that dunk, was two other times. Once when Willis came hobbling out of the locker room, for the game seven against Chamberlain and them. Against the
right,
Lakers,
okay.
When nobody thought he would play, or they didn't really know. And the other time, see, believe it or not, I was at SummerSlam 88, the WWF, and a guy named Brutus the Barber Beefcake was supposed to be fighting Honky Tonk Man for the Intercontinental title. Well, they announced earlier in the evening that Brutus had gotten hurt the night before in the match and wouldn't be available. But we were going to be trying to find suitable competition for Honky Tonk. So everybody's like, wow, who's it going to be? Who's it going to be? You know, like that. So Honky's like, get anybody from back there. I don't care who it is. I'm the greatest of all time. Get somebody out here for me. So it was a big shroud of mystery, right, see? The next thing you know, they hit this guy's music. Dun, 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 dun. Ultimate Warrior comes charging.
Wow.
The crowd goes berserk. See, you know how Roddy the Garden, yeah.
Right.
You know how Roddy the Garden crowd can be, yeah.
Wow. I think you can put Ultimate Warrior in any venue, and he'll just excite the crowd. He'll just run out.
The Ultimate Warrior worked on a few occasions. The guy had the charisma, man. He really did. And you're right about Warrior. He could excite any crowd. So they hit his music. The crowd went as berserk. I've been to the Garden for a lot of different events, okay? The crowd went as berserk as I've ever heard them. He comes charging into the ring, shaking the ropes, right? He goes into the ring. He throws Honky Tonk against the ropes. Gorilla presses him over his head as he comes off, slams him, runs to the ropes, drops an elbow on him. One, two, three. See, the whole thing lasted about 32 seconds, and the crowd went nuts.
Wow. Wow. I want to YouTube that.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I just remember seeing him as a kid growing up, watching wrestling on Saturday mornings, and it was just, I want to do it now. I want to do it nowadays.
I'm sorry, was that now?
That's what I want to do nowadays. Whenever I walk into a room, I just want to charge in, chanting, and just running around. Just charge up a room.
The guy was awesome, no question.
Yeah, run into a meeting like that, I think it'll shake up anyone.
Something, it's funny that you should mention that, man, some Garden moments that you just don't forget. I was there one time, and this is the only time I've ever seen this. You know, when the guys do the layup line, before the game, and guys are on the layup line just kind of taking in layups and shooting around. Well, do you remember a monster guy that could just, I think he had like a 48-inch leap named David Thompson?
No.
Well, his name was David Thompson. Ask Doc when he comes back on. It was David Thompson, man. The guy had like a 46, 48-inch vertical.
Wow.
And he was doing all kinds of different slam dunks before the game. And see, this is the first time I ever saw that, man. The crowd just rose, and I know this because I was one of them, just rose and gave the guy a mad standing ovation. He was doing stuff we hadn't seen.
Wow. Okay, David Thompson. I'm looking up now, and I'm seeing shots from him as a Denver Nugget.
That's it. That's it, see. And the guy was slamming like you wouldn't believe. The only time I've ever seen a guy get a standing ovation before the game like that.
Wow, look at all that air. And this is way before Nike Air.
Yeah, way before, see. I mean, the guy was literally hovering over, the guy was literally hovering way over the rim and slamming it on the way down.
Yeah, it looks like almost his forearm is about the height of the rim.
And I got to say, because I was there, we were going nuts.
It goes back to those commercials from the early 90s. It's got to be the shoes. Maybe it's not.
Yeah, got to be the shoes. Got to be something that's getting on, boy, giving them that kind of hops.
It's not in the shoes. Wow, look at all that air. Mm-hmm.
And you know something, the funny thing about
it. This is the crowd. I'm sorry, this is the game.
And the funny thing that Doc will tell you, see, is that, you know, believe it or not, his hands were too small to actually palm the ball like most guys who duck like that. So he was actually cuffing it and throwing it down. Really? His hands are too small to palm.
Wow. He made it work.
Yeah, he really did. And I mentioned that, see, because I don't remember a guy getting a standing ovation like that on the layup line.
Wow. Very cool. Very cool.
It really was.
6'4".
Right.
6'4", which is, I guess, that's an average point guard height.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, basically, yeah.
Yeah, way taller than me, though.
Oh, that guy got like a foot on me, but the thing is, you know, yeah, see, you'd say that 6'4 would be like decent regular point guard height, a regular guard height at the NBA level now. He can still play a decent guard at 6'4".
Mm-hmm.
Either
right.
The point or the off. Yeah, that's tall enough to play either the point or the off guard.
Right. It depends on your width, maybe a small forward.
Yeah, depending on who you're playing with, yeah.
And we have somebody else on
the panel. Let me ask you something about this, guys.
Sure.
I really want to know, because you're our guru here when it comes to basketball here in the Sports and Depth Nation.
Who's the guru here?
hey, AC, you noticed I came back just in time for the guru.
I got to monitor you guys here, you know what I mean? It's only a half hour. you be pulling the dusty on me.
Hey, Doc, yeah. You showed us when we were first getting involved in journalism. Phil.
You know what? And talking to C-Wings today, Doc Stanley Sports and Death on the Blake Radio Network, he was saying that he's not too optimistic about us having a football season this year.
Entirely.
I mean, you know, and he was telling me something like the Brickershaw, he gets like almost $1 million just to work out. So you know how that's got to be hurting. I mean, they pay $750,000 to work out. And,
Doc, until it's official, I still am going to find it hard to believe that these knuckleheads can find a way to split a $9 billion pot.
Listen, you know what? Yeah. If not, cut it in half, and I'm pretty sure the panel here, we could work something out with that.
Oh, I'm sure we could. Doc, I really find it hard to believe that they're going to risk getting the fans all ticked off again.
Yeah.
The millionaires versus the millionaires. And not
really
be able to
them.
Split $9 billion pot.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
You know, as Don King said, we could
find something to do with it. You know, the studio could use some upgrades.
Hey, you know what? Later upgrades. You'll just come on to Brazil with me. Later for the upgrades. Yeah, I mean, but you look back at that great line that Don King says, "Only in America," and you know, here's you're just kind of wondering what the mindset is. On both sides of the table. But so often, as people forget, you know, in the baseball strike of 94, you know, the courts had ruled against the owners. Owners still locked the players out, and the players were seen as the bad guys. But if I told you, Frank Thomas, Matt Williams, and Ken Griffey Jr. were all en route to 60 home runs. Barry Bonds was going to do 40-40 again and maybe do 50-50. Tony Gwynn was flirting with 400. Greg Maddux and a host of other pitchers were on 20-win seasons. I remember Ozzie Smith telling me, he said, "Mel, you know, the way things are set up, we have to strike." and they had to strike because they were locked out. You know? So,
well, you know, Doc, like I said, I understand, from what I understand, and see, correct me if you heard anything else, but, Doc, I heard that the players would be very happy to keep things status quo the way they are, you know, to keep the pot and everything the way it is. They'd be very happy. What I hear is that the owners want a bigger cut, and the bigger cut would be for them to
well,
take only, an extra
that's,
billion
that's no
off
surprise.
The top.
That's no surprise. And once again, you doing the in-depth detective work that you so remotely and distinctly do week by week. I mean, but it, once again, then, it's validating what I just spoke about remotely, that the whole problem with the baseball strike is the whole problem with this here is the owners.
Yeah.
I mean, and you know, and but the media somehow depicted the players as the villains, where in retrospect it was the owners. And, you know, and correct me, gentlemen, the people doing the locking out are always owners, so you can't get in if you're locked out. Somebody help me here.
Right.
You know,
well, I guess it's just easier to pick on the ones with the names.
Hmm. Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
The ones with, you know, that are selling the shoes, that are making the commercials, you know, for Best Buy, et cetera, et cetera. You know, the Mannings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just easier to pick on someone with a name instead of some owner in the back room with, you know.
Well, yeah, well, it's about the visibility. So I remember doing half fare tickets when I was still an active police officer, and some of the formality of how it was done was not totally understood by the passengers, and when they were erupted and when they got irate, well, the rules are made by the organization and offer structure, but the person that felt the wrath was the clerks. You know what I mean? And that's what the same thing happened here in baseball. The visibility of the players that depicted in somewhat selfish, greedy, and noncommittal were the ones who were seen as the bad guys. And the baseball thing, I mean, I just really felt so bad. I mean, Tony Gwynn was flirting toward 400. You had Barry Bonds going toward 40-40, maybe 50-50. Matt Williams, Frank Thomas, and Ken Griffey Jr. en route to 60 home runs. And, you know, I was just thinking, we talked last night, did you know some things you thought you knew that you really didn't know, not until I told you so. Ted Williams, in his three greatest years, and you win a Triple Crown, it's a great year. He won a Triple Crown twice, and two times he was struggling on the last day of the season, missed 5 years, and he hit 400. Those 3 years, Rooney, do you know he did not win the MVP? I remember telling Don Mattingly that in 47 that Ted Williams won the Triple Crown and did not win the Most Valuable Player Award. I mean, in 41, Williams hit 400. Joe DiMaggio won the MVP. The next year, Ted Williams wins the Triple Crown. Wins the Triple Crown. Back-to-back years, Joe Gordon won the MVP. And the late, great, and it saddens me to think about that, he's not here, was no more. Bill Shannon said that the only thing that Joe Gordon led the league in 1942 was errors. 1947, a sports writer refused to give Ted Williams a vote. Refused to put him on the
board. Wow, that's crazy. Do you know that's just... You know, it's just very personal at that point, because you're just not even looking at the guy's talent.
But he won a Triple Crown. I mean, I remember a guy told me that Jim Rice was the kind of guy that only played for himself. Here's a guy outside of Lou Gehrig, only right-handed batter in the 20th century to have three straight years of over 200 hits, 100 RBIs, 100 scored runs, 100 RBIs, as I mentioned, 40 home runs, 20 doubles. 25 doubles and 10 triples. 3 years in a row, and this guy tells me he's only playing for himself. That kind of selfish guy I want on my team. All right?
Of course, and I'm telling you, the thing on Williams, this is extremely interesting. You're right, putting up those kind of numbers and not getting the MVP.
Well, yeah, it's just, I mean, we're talking, I mean, I think he won it once or twice, but, you know, there's a lot can be said. He could have won it those years. I mean, ironically, I mean, I think if he had got a last place vote, him and DiMaggio would have been co-winners for the first time. And actually, it had been the first time, and it would have been one of only two times, as you know, Willie Stargell and Keith Hernandez, only players to share the MVP award in baseball history, National League baseball history at that. But it's just an amazing thing. Doc Stanley, Sports Network on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Souls, Young Sports Network Show. I'm en route to Rio de Janeiro. Only going to stay there as I head to my beloved Fort Lays. I'm at JFK, and Sports Network Rainbow Soul will take you anywhere, everywhere. My panel is uncomparable. My panel can go anywhere, handle any subject you want to do. Probably we do that. You want to do sports, we can do it. Whatever you want to do, nobody does it better. Right here on the Blake Radio Network. Dusty must still be. I've told Rooney, Dusty, you know, he's feeling better. Exercise, he's walking his dog. I said, I'm started calling him. Remember that song, Rufus Thomas, Walking the Dog? So now he's Dusty Rufus, D.R.
I like Dusty
D.R.
Rufus.
Yeah. You know, Dusty Rufus.
And you know, and you know something, Doc? You know, it's funny. Just when you took a, when you stepped aside for a quick second, C and I were just going all over the map and, you know, wrestling and everything else. And, you know, the great back, I always wanted to bounce this story with you in the audience. I'll make it brief, Doc and C. The great, gorgeous George was known for his quick face.
Well, you know, hold on. Before you even go, it's amazing you mentioned gorgeous George's George. At the funeral yesterday of the legendary, and what a human being, Bill Gallo. Well, the great, and just equal human being, Sal Marciano was in. Sal
and a great cartoonist.
The greatest. And Sal has a horde of wonderful stories. And Gorgeous George, as you know, was the guy who Ali imitated, picked up his act, and sort of, to a certain degree, idolized. Well, Marciano told this great story about Ali. The fight in Zaire, the rumble in the jungle. They locked up the gloves before the fight. And Marciano told Ali, he said, you know, they locked the gloves, but they put him in jail. And Ali said, oh, what'd they do that for? He said, they ain't done nothing yet.
Typical Ali, Doc. Typical Ali.
Yeah. What'd they do that for? They ain't done nothing yet. But go ahead, Gorgeous George, Rooney.
I'm going to agree with that. This is just two quick stories about how the great Gorgeous George, and what a quick thinker he was. And, Doc, you'll appreciate this for your own reasons. And see, this is the deal. They said George one day was, you know, outside driving, speeding as usual, always speeding, George.
Mm-hmm.
And so the officers, you know, noticed it and picked him up and started chasing him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, George tried to outroll him, but he didn't have the gas power. So finally, he pulls over, jumps off the car and says, holding his heart, oh, my God, did you see that? Oh, my God, did you see that? And the guys are like, yeah, of course we've seen it. We've been chasing you for a mile, sure. And he says, well, the pedal got stuck. I thought I was a goner. Oh, my God, I thought I was a goner. The guy's pedal got stuck. I couldn't get up. Oh, my God. Doc, you know that knucklehead wound up talking himself into an escort home and some,
That is why he was Ali's idol. No question about it.
We're
getting ready to close this special segment here, the half-hour special. We'll probably do, if you want, gentlemen, you can do Sports Net with the lights off and the mic still on. Jeff Gabriel closing it. There's Rooney and Big C. Doc Stanley, Sports and Death on the Blake Radio Network. Closing prayer. Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. In the name of your darling son, Jesus, amen. Well, I'm ready to board the reel, but what do we got about it? 40 seconds left, Rooney? Big C?
We got 27.
Right. Okay, well, if we want to continue, we can go with the lights on. Real quickly, Tiger Woods is out of the players. He's having some problems. The Miami Heat have advanced to the next round of the NBA playoffs, and there'll be reruns of the Pacquiao and Mosley fight. But then again, what fight? Doc Stanley, Sports and Death on the Blake, whatever. Three thoughts. Live your life today. If stand before God tomorrow. Life's most important. Urgent question. What are you doing? Well, this is Larry Hardesty. You can come now. We're ready to go now. You can talk if you want to. We're through.
This concludes another edition of Sports and Death with Doc Stanley. We thank you for listening and encouraging you to tell a friend about Sports and Death with Doc Stanley. You can hear that and many other great programs on the Blake Radio Network. Have a great day.
Boy, unmatched, unchallenged, undeniably the best. Sports and Death Roundtable, boy.